Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to another online service. We're so glad that you have joined us today, and we are so appreciative of the fact that people come together, wherever you are sitting at, watching from, that you've joined together with our church family to participate in this service. Thank you once again, worship team, for a wonderful service. As Pastor James mentioned, we are wrapping up our series entitled Influence, where we, over the past few weeks, have looked at what is required of us to be effective, influential, engaged people of Jesus. Now, a big piece about being influential is a commitment to service. There has to be this mindset to service, where we desire to serve both inside the church and outside the church, where we are sensitive and available to the working of the Holy Spirit so that we may exemplify and glorify Jesus Christ through our lives. Here is an explanation that was once printed in a church bulletin, and it was about a church that had four very unusual members and four very unusual names. Their names were Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. And this was the announcement that was put into the church bulletin. One day, there was a very important job to be done in the church. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. When nobody did it, everybody got mad because it was anybody's job. Everybody thought somebody would do it, but nobody did. So consequently, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Now, that is a humorous analogy, but there's a lot of truth in that simple proclamation in the bulletin. Because throughout the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, in the writings of Paul, there are constant reminders that in the church, we need to be all about service, both inside and outside, inside the church community and outside in our secular community. In fact, the New Testament talks a lot about the giftings and how God has uniquely gifted each and every one of us in the body of Christ. And there is a listing of these giftings found in Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's what we need to understand. While the church can be a great blessing and encouragement to my life, the greater question that all of us need to ask is, how can my life be a blessing to the church? How can I be a blessing to the kingdom of God? In my participation in the body of Christ, how can I be a blessing to the kingdom of God? In other words, the question is not, what is the church doing for me? But instead, the question should be, what can I contribute to the church? What can I contribute to the church to participate in the church's fulfillment of the Great Commission and the mission of Jesus Christ on this earth and to our city? That means, at the very heart of the matter, there is this attitude that all of us must exemplify, and that is that we must be a servant. And that servant takes on the form of action. Service must move from being a noun in our lives to becoming a verb. There has to be action involved in our lives. And so today, I just want to take a brief look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where there are three action steps to a person of influence. Three action steps that we must engage in order to be a person of influence. And in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible gives us these action steps that we must engage if we are going to be a person and exemplify a life of service. The first one is this. We need to identify our gifts. We need to identify our gifts. If we want to be a person of influence, we need to understand and identify our gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through verse 7 says these words. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Verse 6, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who works and does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, now notice this, so we can help each other. From the very onset, Paul points out that there are many gifts that can be and are distributed. And I believe that God has gifted every single one of us. God has gifted all of us with unique spiritual gifts. And when we find and when we use and do something with those gifts that have been deposited in us, then you begin to function and you begin to operate in them. You are beginning to live your life. Because you're operating in those deposited gifts of God, you begin to operate your life and live your life in a sweet spot. Life becomes more meaningful. Notice what it says in Psalm 139, verse 13 and verse 14. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. This is describing God's creation in us. He made all the delicate inner parts of my body, your body, and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Here is a description of God making us, making you and me, in the way that He has a distinct purpose for each of us. God made you as an original. There is no one like you in this world. And He has given you and deposited in you distinct gifts so that you can serve and you can fulfill His purposes on this earth. You are the only one that can be truly you. And so when you discover that you are created in His image for a distinct purpose while you are on this earth, then you can enjoy the incredible gifts that He has specifically entrusted to you. One of my most favorite verses in the Bible is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And it says these words, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Here, this verse is describing that we are to faithfully administrate God's giftings, God's grace in its various forms through our lives. And when you and I use God's gifts that we have been entrusted with, we become agents of God's grace. We are able to display hope and encouragement to people. We become a representative of God, ambassadors of God to others. And this isn't done in our own strength, but it's done in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You see, God doesn't just deposit gifts and leave them up to us to be stranded with them, trying to serve and trying to find our place. No. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and empowers us to take these gifts and to utilize these gifts and use those gifts to do incredible and impossible tasks. Therein, you can be an influence in this world. The Holy Spirit infuses us with the power to accomplish and to utilize those gifts for God's honor and purpose. Here's what we need to understand and grasp. This is really important for us to get a hold of. All of us have different abilities, different passions, different pursuits, and they are completely unique when compared to another person. They are distinctively yours. And an act of service, an act of servanthood that could be a drag or boring for one person can energize the next person. And when you operate in the gifts and understand the gifts that God has deposited in you, when you are energized to operate and work in those gifts in what you do, how you know that you are operating in those gifts, Miss, gives you distinct purpose for your life. So when we exercise this concept in the church, when we all have this understanding of the uniqueness of everybody in the body of Christ, and when we have an understanding of the unique qualities and the unique giftings that every single person has, when we understand this concept collectively in the church, we can celebrate the diversity and the creativity of the gifts while still being in unity with one another. You see, the goal isn't uniformity where we all do everything the same. The goal is actually unity. Unity through diversity, because we understand the uniqueness of God's creation in all of us and the unique qualities and gifting that have been deposited in our lives. So when you understand this, when you understand this incredible concept, the question that needs to be asked, or that the question that it becomes in our life is, how can we exercise these various gift mixes in a unified way while still celebrating the diversity in order to accomplish the mission of the church? And I think in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, the answer is given to us. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So when God deposits these unique gifts into your life, when God deposits these into your life, He desires you to discover what they are, but more than that, He desires for you to serve Him and to use these gifts for the benefit of others. Because something happens when you are faithfully operating in this deposit of giftings in your life. And that something is you feel fulfillment and you discover fruitfulness in your life. Now here's the second action step to becoming a person of influence. The second action item is, not only do you discover your gifts, but secondly, you need to find your role. You need to find your role. Once you discover your unique gifts and ask the question, Lord, the question then you need to ask is, Lord, where do you want me to use those gifts? Now, when you read the New Testament, the church is described in three different words. The first description of the church is that it is a building. The second description of the church is that it is a bride. And the third description, which is used here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is that the church is described as a body. That's the description found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse 12, we have this analogy, this metaphor describing the church. Notice what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Now here, I want you to pay real close attention to this, because in verse 15 through verse 20, we have this description of how this body functions together. Notice what it says in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not the eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, And God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would it be if it only had one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Now, here's something really interesting, because the reason the Apostle Paul uses this analogy of the body is because he is writing to the people in the city of Corinth. And the people of Corinth were obsessed and fixated on the body. Not only was the city of Corinth a very permissive and sexually promiscuous city and society, there was a temple within the city to the goddess of Aphrodite. And in that temple, there were 1,000 prostitutes who worked there. But the other thing you need to understand is the people of Corinth had another fixation. For example, if they had a sore foot or a sore hand or they had an earache, they would go to a store where they would buy body parts made out of plaster. And they would take these body parts, an arm or an ear or a hand, whatever that body part may have been, they would take these made out of plaster body parts to the temple of the God of healing, praying that as they brought this body part into the temple, that God would heal or a healing would take place. And so when Paul uses this description, this usage describing the body and the term of the body as part of the body of Christ, the people of Corinth would have been very familiar with this description. And the usage that Paul makes is not based on these individual fixations about their body and their feeling of ailment in the body, but he uses it to describe the church, that the church has to function together. It has to work together, all of us submitting under the leadership of Jesus Christ. It's not about individualism. It's all about unity, functioning, knowing what part we serve in the body of Christ. We all need each other. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. We all need each other. We're not individual islands just functioning and doing and operating how we see fit. No, we come together with a sole purpose. We all have different gifts. We all have different functions and different roles to play. And in doing so, collectively, we become the fulfillment of the body of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. The church cannot effectively function if the individual parts are not functioning in their prescribed roles. The unity of the church is undermined when we are not functioning and flowing together. The prescribed roles that all of us have in the body of Christ provides incredible unity with others. Some people serve in the spotlight. Other people behind the scenes run the spotlight. And listen, no matter what you do, no matter how you contribute in this life of service, with this attitude of servanthood, your life in the body of Christ can be a game changer when you function and flow in the deposited gifts within the body of Christ. And not only would it be a game changer in your own personal life, but it's a game changer in the life of another person. And here's the third and final step in becoming a person of influence. We need to be people who do our part. Not only do we identify our gifts, not only do we find our role, but then we do our part. The analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 continues with verse 21. Notice what it says in verse 21. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. The perspective, many times in our culture today, as we live in this consumer mentality, is that I can do things on my own. I don't need anybody else. Thank you very much. But can I tell you that God has created us in such a way that we need each other? God has created us in such a way that we need the support and the encouragement of one another. We can't live by ourselves. We can't do things by ourselves. And when people work together in unity, when people come together in unity, there are incredible accomplishments that can take place. Team sports is a great example of people functioning together, and everyone has a role to play on that team. You and I can't just walk up to a coach and tell them that I don't want to play in hockey. I don't want to play left wing when the coach feels that my best position would probably be on defense. I remember our son, when he was in junior high, he was maybe 12 or 13 years old, and he was playing basketball in junior high school. And he, after one game, was extremely frustrated because he only scored 4 points in that game. And driving home in the car after the game, he was lamenting the fact that he was not a good shooter and he wasn't as tall as some of the other boys on the team. And as I listened to him lament his play during the game, I asked him a couple of questions. I asked him, how many times during the game did you steal the ball from the opposing player because you are quick and agile? How many times did you pass the basketball to an open player who then scored that basket? You see, that assist is just as important as scoring the basket. My friends, not everyone can score, but everyone has a role to play. And when everyone on the team plays their role, the team wins. And what is most important is that you and I need to understand, and this is what I was trying to tell my son, what we need to understand most importantly is that you are on the team and that you are playing. But there's one vital piece of this puzzle that the Bible is trying to present to us here in the fact that there has to be unity. Because what happens when pride begins to sneak in? What happens when pride begins to sneak in? And what the Apostle Paul is alluding to us and what he's trying to say to us here in verse 21, Paul is saying to us, ears want to be eyes, and hands want to be feet, and the head wants to be a foot, and the foot wants to be the head, and we always want to be what somebody else is or has. But if we, my friends, if we serve with humility and contentment, not concerned with who gets the glory, listen, this is what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is trying to say here. If we engage in this kind of mentality, this kind of heart attitude, when we serve with humility and we serve with contentment, not concerned about who gets the glory, there is no division in the kingdom of God, and there is no division in the church. And when there's no division in the church, the kingdom of God advances. We, as followers of Jesus, we follow the example of Jesus, who left the splendors of heaven and came, representing the Godhead, came onto this earth to serve mankind. That's the example that we should follow. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24, notice what the Bible says. While the more honorable parts do not require the special care, so God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. And one last verse, verse 26. This makes for harmony among the members. So all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. See, in the church, we have to learn. We have to learn to keep each other's back. In good times and in bad times, whether we're on the mountaintop or we're going through a dark and deep valley. What Paul, the Apostle Paul, is describing for us here is this. It's not about the recognition that you get. It's not how great you do and how great you are or how bad you didn't do. It's that we're all in this together. We're all together pursuing influence. We're all together in pursuing service, where God uses our gifts and our talents and our abilities. And no matter what we are going through, enjoyment comes, whether we are on the high or we are on the low. Enjoyment comes through the process. Fulfillment comes from the conversations that happen in our time together as the body of Christ. See, what's most important and how we can be most influential, what matters most in the kingdom of God, is that God's work is being accomplished, and we don't care who gets the glory. But as we share our resources, as we share our gifts, abilities, and talents, and we come together as the body of Christ, whatever role we play, no matter how insignificant that contribution may be, whatever that contribution is, has eternal consequence in the sight of God. See, this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell every follower of Christ. This is what the Bible is trying to zero in to every person who is a part of the church. This is what the Bible is trying to present to us, that we can model to the world how we ought to treat one another, how we should interact with one another, how we should celebrate the differences and do it in unity together, how we can, as we do, how the testimony of the church begins to expand. You see, my friends, because when we don't do that, when we don't celebrate the uniqueness and the qualities of God's deposit in our lives, and there is friction because we want to see who gets the most glory in doing kingdom work, when that happens, when disagreements and contention and division happens, it tarnishes our influence. It tarnishes the testimony of the church, and it ruins and wounds the witness of the church in the community. I don't know if you have noticed, I'm sure you have noticed, that in our day and age, in our society right now, our world and people within the context of the world, we are becoming more and more polarized. Whether it's politically, whether it's in the world of sports, or whether it's in our neighborhoods. Listen, I have been in neighborhood meetings. I have sat in public meetings. I have participated in community homeowner association meetings. And many times, that is not a very pleasant experience. So many views are expressed. So many views on every action point on the agenda. And many times there is no consensus and people are talking over one another and it ends up with people yelling at each other and those who came in as friends leave as enemies. But the church, listen, the church should be different. The church, you and I in the church, we have to make a decision that we remain united around Jesus Christ. You and I in the church, we have to make a decision that we remain united around the Bible. In the church, you and I, we have to make a decision to remain united to one another. walking in unity, celebrating diversity, and understanding that we have one faith. Because if we stand united, if we stand divided, the world will look at the church, the world will look at us as followers of Jesus, and they will ask, what is the purpose of the church if it just looks like society? We have an opportunity to be influential. We have an opportunity as the body of Christ to set the example when it comes to unity. We can be influential. And one last verse in verse 27. Notice what Paul says in summation. This is the wrap-up. He says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Not that we all have the same opinions, but that we respect the diversity of the gifts that have been deposited in us. And in spite of those differences, in spite of different opinions, in spite of different gifts, in spite of different looks, in spite of different personalities, we still maintain the unity of fellowship because we are the body of Christ. And each person has a part to participate as you make yourself available to Jesus Christ. I love what Mother Teresa once said. Listen to these words. She said, I am but a small pencil in the mighty hand of God, writing a love letter to the world. Friends, that's what we can do. Let's all together write something well. Let's write something well with our lives. Let's do something significant with the gifts that God has deposited in us. Let's write something well for the honor and glory of our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. God, may we individually, understand the significance of our life, that you have deposited in us gifts so that we can be an influence, a person that is influential within the church and outside in our community. Take these gifts, Lord, we pray. We bring them to the altar, we hand them to you, and we say, God, use us in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Now Pastor Connie comes to lead us in communion.